The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2011 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2011. If you have purchased this audio CD, you are free to make multiple copies of it for your own or your school's use. You may not sell copies of this audio or post it on the Internet. If you would like to find out more about the work of ACCS, please visit our website at www.accsedu.org. To order additional talks from this conference, please visit the ACCS website and click on Conferences. Thank you for your support of ACCS.
Now, her reasoning behind that downward strokes was it would not leave as many ink blobs when they were using their ink pens. It would not leave as many ink blobs, and so it made it look a lot nicer. Also, the splashes were all gone. Some of the American educators from the Horace Mann School changed it to a more rigid and more geometric form that we know as the ball and stick. A few short years later, Margaret Wise recommended returning to cursive, and most of the other countries followed what she said, except for the American publishers. They didn't follow because of, can you guess why? Money. It would be a major expense to redesign all of the materials. So by 1950, you have 84% of the schools in the United States using manuscript with very little research to support that decision. The majority of these schools had students switching to cursive then by the fourth grade. So they would take all this time learning the ball and stick, and then in the later third and early fourth grade, switch to the cursive writing. Many researchers then became concerned about teaching two very different styles, so they wanted to quit cursive altogether. Typical of modern movements of the day, the sweeping attitude of out with the old and in with the new, regardless of logic or prior success. Historically, manuscript was considered the drawing of letters to closely duplicate printing machines, and cursive was to be used for written communication. Number three, we're zooming already on your outline, the connection between penmanship and brain development. This is very interesting. In October 2010, an article appeared in the Wall Street Journal titled How Handwriting Trains the Brain. That same month, our NILD specialist attended a conference where Kathy Hopkins made a reference to that same article. While those two events were going on, Tom Spencer called me and asked me if I would present another workshop at this ACCS conference, and thus my rabbit hole that you get to experience with me. Studies do show a connection between cursive writing and brain development. Medical research by neurologists and other experts have proven that there is a cognitive connection between writing by hand and brain activity. Now I'm going to throw you a few carrots, and you are welcome to use the bibliography that you will find attached in your handout, and you can go down your own rabbit trails. A recent study published by Indiana University had two different groups of students. One group of students was studying their ABCs, and while they were studying their ABCs, they wrote them, either printed them or they wrote them with manuscript. Most of the study says that they wrote them with manuscript. The second group looked at them, much as looking at TV or much as looking at the video games. And after a while, they put those children in a functional MRI disguised as a spaceship. And so the children went in, and after they did the MRIs, there was a remarkable difference between those that were actually using their hand and those that just used their visual. Amazing. The tactile kinesthetic group showed more neural activity. A University of Wisconsin psychologist showed that sequential finger movements required to write by hand activated brain regions that involved thought, language, and short-term memory. Students tested in grades 2, 4, and 6 wrote faster by hand than typing on the keyboard. and they generated more ideas composing essays by hand than composing them on the keyboard. Some doctors treating neurological disorders say that graphology, which is the study of identifying personality traits through handwriting, that graphology can be an early diagnostic tool for people that would be having problems pointing to Alzheimer's, dementia, and so on. It's really interesting. Children in China and Japan are suffering from character amnesia. Thanks to technology and texting, they can't remember how to create their letters because they're not having to do it anymore. A Hong Kong University linguist states that Chinese reading and writing are so closely linked in the brain that China's reading ability as a nation could suffer. In the book, The Alphabet and the Goddess, and I have all of these, anything that I've mentioned I put in my bibliography so you don't have to hurry and write it down. In The Alphabet and the Goddess, The Conflict Between Word and Image, Leonard Shallon, M.D., states that all forms of writing increase the left brain's dominance over the right. Handwriting is that agent of change. Movement creates neural activity. Lots of activation means lots of processing, which we want. Cursive lays the foundation for reading skills and spelling development because of that kinesthetic process. Of the four basic learning styles, the motor skills leave the strongest imprint on the brain. Now, several educators and publishers are beginning to recognize that teaching cursive from the beginning actually facilitates the reading and spelling processes. By joining letters, cursive reinforces the blending of sounds within the words. It helps the child learn to spell correctly, since the hand acquires knowledge of spelling patterns through repeated hand movements. Now, here's that. The hand it acquires these movements and these spelling patterns. And I had to go over this for a lot of times. Let's say that you're learning how to play the piano. In the beginning, you have to think where you're placing your fingers and how you're making those chords. And then your fingers actually do it. It's not like they do it by themselves magically, but it's more ingrained, and they more naturally do that after you've practiced and you have that pattern. The same thing with typing, which I never learned how to do. But, you know, your ASDK, whatever those are, you don't have to think about that. That just becomes a part of it when you're typing. The same thing with handwriting. If you write an I and a G, it's almost always an H after it. If you write a T, most of the time it's an H after it. You know, so there are patterns that just automatically you learn. You don't even know that you're doing that. That was a very interesting study. Cursive requires executing sequential strokes to form a letter, whereas keyboarding involves selecting the whole letter. Sequential strokes versus the whole letter. And some of you, I know, are shaking your heads and you already see that. Many have compared this with the phonetic approach to reading versus whole language. Another interesting observation is that while the whole language look-say method was on the rise in the United States, handwriting was on the decline. Formal writing lessons came under attack by supporters of whole language because they felt like harping on the way the student would make the letters would hinder or stifle, hurt their self-esteem, and their self-expression would be killed. Handwriting helps children learn attention to detail, polishes fine motor, not just those overdeveloped thumb muscles that our kids have, and it's a gateway to good reading skills. Experts in the field of dyslexia are contending that cursive is actually more developmentally appropriate and easier to learn, especially with someone with a learning disability. In addition to these cognitive and development skills, practicing cursive writing and its sometimes tedious repetitions have many benefits far beyond handwriting and the beauty of it. It establishes mental and emotional discipline, and it's a prerequisite to maturity and social responsibility. The same impulse control that is required for rational behavior, that part of the brain, is the same impulse control that's required for correct handwriting. So you think about it, and we have seen this over the years. The children that misbehave, constantly misbehave, are your discipline problems. Check their handwriting and see if that doesn't go right along with that. Teachers and parents need to recognize and encourage the connection between the effort of penmanship practice and the future behavior characteristics of their children. Number four on your outline is the techie world and penmanship. Of course, children must be computer literate today. Yes, they need these skills to compete in today's global economy. But this technology should be in addition to the penmanship instead of in place of it. The push for computers in every classroom has been successful. Everyone's impressed that little Johnny, little Janie, they're so computer savvy. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Keep the practice of penmanship in the curriculum. Today's schools are reducing the time available for penmanship and in some cases eliminating it altogether, requesting that all work be submitted as computer generated or typed. Just in the last week, my teachers help me when they come across things about penmanship. There's a report from Augusta, Georgia. It was on Nightly News by Steve Osunami. It says that 41 states already have replaced cursive with keyboarding, Georgia being one of those. An interesting twist. There is new software for the touchscreen devices, such as your iPad, your iPod, your iPhone, and it's starting to reinvigorate the practice of penmanship. Yep, there's an app for that. It's called ABC Phonics. It's only $1.99. Now, you may use the stylus, or you may use your finger to form the letters on these devices and correct movements when you cheering pencils. The kids like it. There is available ABC Tracer and I Write Words. Another example is a $3.99 app, and it's called Write Pad. Write meaning W-R-I-T-E, pad. This takes handwriting, and it converts it to text for email, for documents, or even for Twitter. I don't do any of that. So. There's no question that computers are here to stay, but being able to write does boost self-esteem, as well as an appreciation for words and language. No computer printout can give the child the sensation that forming letters with their own hand does. Employers value both penmanship and computing. People are well prepared for life who can fill out a job application, take a phone message legibly, address a package, and make a list. The need to write by hand will always be with us. Sending cards and personal notes, condolences, and sympathy cards are still the proper etiquette. And how many of us get excited when you go through the mail and there's a hand-addressed envelope? It's like, wow, this is so cool. You know, you put it aside, you open the bills, and you rip up the junk mail, and then it's like, sometimes you even go get a cup of coffee or tea or a drink, and you're just sitting there like savoring, wow, somebody wrote me a letter? You know, and then the personality of the person, especially if you know them or it's a good friend, just kind of jumps off that note at you. It's like they're almost there. I mean, it's really exciting. You can tell I get kind of excited about things. I do get some of those, especially from the kids. You know, it's really exciting to get mail from your little ones. In fact, if along this same line, if you would like to have a summer job, or if you're kind of tired of teaching, or you might be disgruntled with it, if you would like to go to Minnesota and live, there is a company there, and it's called Written by Hand. And they employ over 350 people to write thousands of handwritten appeals for charity. Pretty cool. It's also a shame to think that there are scenarios like this one out there. A 16-year-old gets a card from his grandmother. The grandmother, of course, has written in beautiful cursive. He can cash the check, but he can't read the note from his grandmother because it's written in cursive. A 13-year-old and her dad go to open a savings account at the bank. And just like here, if you're charging something to the room, it says print your name and then it says write your name. Well, she could print her name. She could not write her name in cursive to open the account. When handwriting essays were introduced on the SAT exams, that was in the class of 2006, there were 1.5 million high schoolers that took the SAT that year. 15% wrote their answers in cursive, only 15% of them. They were asked to, but only 15% could write them in cursive. Many scorers were unable to read the student's handwriting, so they got a zero, illegible zero, for that part of the test. Steve Graham, who is a professor at Vanderbilt University, he cites studies that indicate good handwriting can take a generic classroom test score from the 50th percentile to the 84th. Good handwriting. Whereas bad penmanship can tank it to the 16th percentile. There is a reader effect that is insidious. People do judge the quality of your ideas based on your handwriting. And if computers had been common in 1776, well, who would be able to recognize this? John Hancock's name and his signature are synonymous. He's recognized in history not only for his signature on the Declaration of Independence, but for what a grandiose man he was. It's also about the large size that it signified. The more popular he became, more influential he became, the larger his handwriting became. It's kind of interesting. All right, this brings us to number 5 on your overhead. I'm sorry, your outline. Reasons to implement cursive, the cursive-only approach. Our cursive-only approach is consistent, and in the cursive writing packets that you got today, all of the lowercase letters begin on the bottom line, and all the letters end at the midline. There are only 2 strokes that begin any of the 26 letters. They're either over curve or they're under curve. And Claudia, would you go ahead and put this up? I know it wasn't. Some people don't have the packet, so I want them to see that. This is a copy of what our cursive letters would look like. And so as you can see on the lowercase down at the bottom, every letter starts on the same place and every letter ends at the same place. So it's simple and it's consistent. Manuscript letters, on the other hand, have as many as 9 different starting places. You can see how those letters are classified, the ones that start and go to the left, the ones that start on the top line, the attic, and come down. It requires many pen lifts that detract from fluency. Some argue that cursive is not consistent with the books and printed material used by younger children. I'd like to point out that even among manuscript, there's a variety of ways to make certain letters. The A, you can write it. The A, you can have the ball and stick. The A, you can do the dinillion. And you can also do, we call it the little umbrella over the A, which is always confusing to them. The wider the range of letter forms, though, the child experiences, the more it'll help in his ability to recognize letters that are written, printed, or manuscript. Billboards have many different styles. Grocery store signs, many different styles. The fancy Lord and Taylor, I think that's still in existence, the Lord and Taylor script on the mall stores. The block print of Kmart, which is almost not in existence anymore, and the golden M of McDonald's, of course, for the golden arches. There's a variety of commercial symbolism that the children are exposed to. Part B would be all life has a rhythm. In Ecclesiastes 3, we read there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to reap, a time to kill, and a time to heal, and so on. In Jane Healy's book, Endangered Minds, she discusses the natural beat and internal rhythm that children develop to correlate with learning. Cursive writing's characteristics of being rhythmic and fluid, as well as directional and continuous, seem to fit with this inner rhythm more so than the fragmented ball and stick. Children experience the total form or shape of a word as they get kinesthetic feedback from this writing movement. Now, this promotes automatic processing, which means that the child can attend to what he is writing rather than to how he is writing it. We call this automaticity. Cursive utilizes a learned rhythmic flow, which enhances fine motor control. Now, cursive also becomes less prone to reversals and transpositions because it prevents the development of early directional problems and commonly confused letters whose identity depends on spatial relations. You take your B and your D. How many of them have problems with that? B, do I put it on the left? Do I put it on the right? You know, an S, do I start this way? Do I start that way? A Z, how many of those are always written backwards? You also have was and saw. Well, if you are actually writing it and you know the cursive S and you hear that beginning sound, saw, then it flows right into it. Because of the direction and the flow, it's a lot easier, and there are less reversal problems. Now, cursive is highly, this is letter D, cursive is highly motivational for younger students. Children derive a great pleasure from learning how to write grown up. They enjoy the chance and the repetitious drill involved in learning the grammar of the strokes and the letters. Cursive can fulfill their expectations sooner and can aid in meaningful reading and writing. Automaticity, self-expression, and communication come when the mechanics of the process are ingrained at an early age. Mastering those mechanics of penmanship tends to unleash creativity in the later years. At Covenant School, we have a handwriting contest for grades 1 through 6. We wanted to acknowledge the hard work and the success of the children. Each grade level has a first, second, and third place winner. And then from the first place winners of each grade level, we come up with a first, second, and third place school-wide winner. It's very competitive. And they get very anxious wondering who it is that won the contest. It's announced on the at the awards assembly on the last day of school. So, 1 year, Shay Still won the contest as a second grader. This is her paper. Everybody writes the same thing. We give them a model of it, but this is what she's learned by the end of second grade. Didn't make these up. This is real. The following year, she won as a third grader. Didn't change too much. Once you get that style, it's becomes a part of you. She was finally defeated by her younger brother. And that's when he was in second grade. All right. Part 6 on your outline. Oh, no, I'm going to show you a couple more things. Claudia, would you put the next one up? Now, this would be an example of what our first graders would do. They don't write the entire selection that the second through sixth does. This is first grade, and this was also Shay. I had kept her paper. This was Shay in the first grade. Good handwriting. And here would the next one would be an example of kindergarten. By the end of kindergarten, there's Sarah. You know, there are some problems, but they're going to be perfected in the next couple years. Okay, part 6 on your outline. I'm going to take you through the progression of penmanship in K through 2, and this is included in your packet. And I promise you, you all may go and get your packets today. I'm going to say that. It might be tomorrow morning, but at some point you'll get your packet for this. They told me not to. They said not too many people would be here and look at you. They, whoever the infamous they is. Here you see a pacing guide for kindergarten. We start the year, as you can see, with large motor skills. We work on the strokes to be used for future writing. Now, they use their bodies. They will learn undercurve, and they'll use their whole body to go back and forth because we want to go from great big movements. They'll go undercurve and stop and wait for the next direction, slant, undercurve, slant, and they'll go all the way down the street, across the room, down the hallway, using their big old bodies to do that. Sidewalk chalk, great big movements of sidewalk chalk, either on the wall of the building because you can just hose it down, or on the playground, on the asphalt. We also paint with water, have great big brushes, you know, like the big kind of paint brushes, so you don't have to worry about holding it yet. And they just concentrate on the strokes. You will also see in that packet on there's an undercurve and an overcurve. There's a loop back and a loop forward. And so that's what they concentrate on that first quarter, almost two whole quarters in kindergarten. And, of course, we use the chalkboard. There is something to be said about chalk on a chalkboard. It's that kinesthetic value. It's different than anything else. And you're going to see that even with your chalk on your construction paper here in just a minute. A crayon gives you one feeling. A marker gives you a feeling. A pencil, of course, gives you a feeling. But that chalk gives you a feeling that you can actually feel yourself making those strokes. And their favorite medium that they like to use in kindergarten is shaving cream. Now, there are no tables in here, and I did not bring any shaving cream for today. All the time that we're working on grip and we're working on stroke development, but they don't know that. They just see it as scribbles and they see it as fun. All that fun has a purpose and a guideline. The kindergartners really don't work with lines or pencil or paper until late in the second quarter. When we're doing phonics and when we're teaching spelling and phonics and the letters, both manuscript and cursive letters are introduced. As we teach those subjects, the students have stickers for their names, so they don't have to write their names on their paper at first. They'll have sheets of name stickers. And they will also have sheets of so many A's, so many B's. They'll have sheets of sticker, letter stickers as well. So if they have to write an answer on something, you know, it's got a picture of a ball and they want to know what it begins with, then they can go get one of their stickers and they can put it on there instead of forcing them to write the wrong way. Then we start with the basic letter strokes of their name, and around December or January, they're introduced to the mechanics of their name. And then our aide and many volunteers help with this, but we'll take a large sheet of paper and we'll start with just the capital letter, just forming each letter at a time and then adding more to it. And then after weeks, if this doesn't happen overnight, after weeks, then you can get down to the their whole name. They also take this home. This is laminated then. They take it home. They can practice on it. Their parents know how to practice with them. Their parents are very informed about grip, pencil grip, about paper position, about posture, because all of the parents have to go to a mandatory meeting that tells what the rationale is of covenant cursive and also the importance, kind of like what we're doing today, but more in a nutshell. In the first grade, this is our pacing guide for the first grade on the overhead. We review the basic strokes with markers, with chalk, with paint, with shaving cream, much as the kindergarten, except we're moving from big to smaller. We also use columns on newspapers. Newspapers are great for this. If for nothing else, keep subscribing to your newspaper so that you can do this. There's just a natural column there, and so you can draw lines on it, and they can use that bigness of that, and they think they're really cool because then they see all the pictures of cars and other things on the backs of them. Another really good medium to use is a phone book, because phone books have those nice little columns too. So you can start out great big and have them go from top to bottom. You can get it down to as small as this if you want to in your progression. We also keep their grip loose, but they would use these three fingers, and you would take your thumb and your two fingers, and you would act like you were making a shamrock, like dipping your fingers down in paint and making your little shamrocks on your face for St. Patrick's Day. And so they're only going to be able to see those tips. So you can see that these two fingers aren't used at all. Well, what you can do is you can wad up a sheet of paper, or you can take Kleenex, and you can put it in the palm of that hand, and then those two fingers have to hold that in there, and it keeps them from putting that death grip on there. I can write just like this. The first letter that we teach is the U, which to them is a repetition of undercurve, slant, undercurve, slant, undercurve, which they've done for a year and a half. And then they get really excited because they're like, that's a letter? That's a letter U. And then we move into all of the undercurve starters. So all the letters that start with undercurves we introduce first. And then we go to the letters with overcurves. So all the letters that start with overcurves we do. So it's either undercurves or overcurves. And then we've done all the lowercase letters. We do instruct the formation of capitals, but mastery is not expected until second grade. Modeling the capital letters throughout the year can help with recognition, and they even attempt to make them. Some of them do a pretty good job. They'll put those strokes together. They'll see the little ins and outs, the details of that, and they'll write them pretty well by themselves. Sometimes you have to tweak it a little bit. By the fourth quarter in first grade, all work is written in cursive. Their spelling tests are in cursive. All their journal writing is in cursive. Everything is in cursive. They love it. They write on church bulletins. They write me notes. They write grandparents' notes. They write notes to each other. They just get really excited because they're writing so grown up. My class wanted, they were so excited about this. We had a lot of snow days in West Virginia, as I'm sure some of y'all did too. And so I kind of didn't get to all of the capitals. And so they're like, when are we ever going to learn X, Y, and Z? So the last 2 days of school, there I am teaching X, Y, and Z because they're like, I got to learn this. In second grade, here's the pacing guide for second grade. You can see the strokes are reviewed. The lowercase is reviewed and polished. Capital letters are then mastered. And all work in second grade, beginning with the second quarter, is written in cursive. Now, there's leniency in grading, and there's tolerance for those who are still having trouble holding the pencil. You know, there are always going to be a few that need a little extra years of help. For the most part, their handwriting is legible and fluent. And you can see by the fourth quarter in second grade, there are really no separate handwriting exercises. Their penmanship is evaluated from writing paragraphs or from writing quotes from George Washington or from some of the founding fathers. In grades 3 through 6, the teachers continue to instill the characteristics of good handwriting. They try to instill consistent slant, concise, they get it a little more concise, the lines get smaller, letter formations, and correct spacing of the words. Now, I'm going to introduce this letter I to you. Some of you were given construction paper and a little baggie. And so if you want to get those out and put them on your notebooks, then we'll have a little bit of fun. All right. If you were a first grader, and that's what you're going to pretend that you are, you're going to be a first grader, you would be using big arm movements. Now, I know that it's late in the afternoon, and you've got a lot of stuff on your lap, so I'm not even going to make you get up and pretend like you're the letter I. But you would start, and you would start down, of course, and you would come up and then slant down and then undercurve, down, undercurve. And, of course, I would be going all the way across the room, but I can't leave this microphone. And then at the end, you would do your dots. So you don't raise your pencil if you're writing. You write the whole word, and then you would go back and dot your I's and cross your T's. While you're doing that, you repeat that rhythm of the stroke, which you all will have all those chants on there. For the letter I, it is undercurve, slant, undercurve, dot. Undercurve, slant, undercurve, dot. Undercurve, slant, undercurve, dot. Undercurve, slant, undercurve, dot. They could say it for an hour. I know you all are sick of me saying it, but they could go on and on and on. That would be the one paper that they would do that day. That would be the introduction of the letter. Now, those papers will be hole punched for them. When they take it home, they have been asked at the beginning of the year to have a 3-ring binder. So the parents know, after this workshop that the parents go to, they know that each day a letter is going to come home, and they can keep them all together, all of the undercurve letters and then all the overcurve letters. They can have that home. They'll have the chant on there, and they'll also be able to use it for review. So what I'd like for you to do is this. 1, 2, if you have a little packet. 1, 2, I'm ready for writing. How about you? 3, 4, feet flat on the floor. not saying that at all. 5, 6, pick up your writing stick, and let's use the crayon first. Crayon. Some people call them crowns. My sister-in-law calls them crowns. I'm like, crowns are what you put on your head. And she goes, no, they're crowns. You know, like Crayola crowns. I'm like, no, they're crayons. Crayons are crayons. All right. So 5, 6, pick up your writing stick. 7, 8, sit up nice and straight. Oh, what good posture. See, you already feel better. Then always take a big breath. 9, 10, slant your paper. A little hard to do on your lap. Slant your paper. Helping hand. And let's begin. Of course, you're going to be at the bottom. So you're going to go under curve, slant, under curve, dot. All right. Now, we rainbow them. And if you don't know what rainbow is, we would take several different colors of crayons. And let's say I let the leader of the day pick a number. So if somebody wants to do it 10 times, we use 10 different colors, or we at least rotate those colors. This is also a good way to incorporate and integrate math with your writing. So they come up, the leader comes up and does tally marks. So each time we do one, you know, then they get to go up and do their tally marks. And we keep a record of how many times that we've rainbowed the letter. So let's do that one again with the crayon. We would go under curve, slant, under curve, dot. Okay. And that would be the letter I. That's all that they would do that day after much big movement. Sometimes I'll put it on the board and they go all the way across. I've got a board that goes all the way across my room. And they'll start and they'll just do the whole thing all the way down, one by one by one. And then they go back to their seat and do something else while they're waiting for the whole class to do their under curve, slant, under curve, dot. All right, the next overhead will show you it goes from being big like that to something a little bit smaller, but not totally small yet. So you have your eye again, and you would do the same thing the next day, except you may not do it so many times. So this time, let's pretend that it's the second day and that we'll pretend like that's smaller. So get your marker out, and we'll use the marker on our paper. Okay, and again, we're starting down at the bottom, and the chant is, what is the chant? Very good. It was like an echo, but it's very good. Okay, so let's try it down at the bottom. Under curve, slant, under curve, dot. And we can rainbow the marker again, although you only have one color. Under curve. Okay, very good. Now I want you to hold that chalk in your hand. And even on the construction paper, you're going to be able to feel the difference with that chalk. They love to work with chalk. Plus, they love to get it all over them. All right, so we're going to do the chalk, and you're going to get the feeling of that. So we'll go under curve, slant, under curve, dot. And again, under curve, slant, under curve, dot. Of course, we would be working a lot on grip. You know, it wouldn't be like this. It would be like in small groups, and a lot would be going on. They would also then go to the lines, which would be the bottom part of that. You have that in your worksheet, in your packet. And the next one would be even smaller, and they get to do this one by themselves. This would be an example of the last day, and then we would go on to another letter after that. So they would actually get to do that one by themselves. Down to the bottom, then they would actually be writing the I, and we would see how they would be doing it. So I have just a couple of recommendations, and that's the last part of your outline. Learn one system of handwriting. Don't have the sixth grade doing something totally different than what the first grade and kindergarten are doing. Make it consistent from kindergarten up through the sixth grade and on. But our secondary have to write in cursive on several things. They don't turn their papers in. Of course, they do those on computer. But some of their rough drafts, and there are some assignments that they have to do still in cursive. All teachers need to be consistent. You need to be picky about the grip, especially early on. Today's parents are so excited that their kids can write their names, and so they have their children holding which we call the death grip, and that is when they come in like this. and they can write with that pencil. And I have a little granddaughter. She's 2 years old. And, of course, you know, I'd like for her to learn how to write well. So we've got great big pieces of chalk and great big crayons. And all I work with her on, I don't care what she does on the paper, I just work with her getting to pick that crayon or that pencil or that piece of chalk up the right way with just those three little pieces. The teachers need to model good handwriting, always, on the board, in notes that you write, and worksheets that you make, on bulletin boards. The teacher's ability and attitude are keys to success. Sometimes our new teachers have to relearn. They have to learn our font, and they also have to learn how to write in cursive. Label things in a print-rich environment in cursive, and maybe even for manuscript and cursive for the lower grades. You can reap the harvest by producing legible handwriters who are able to express ideas clearly and communicate effectively. Another step towards recapturing our culture and repairing the ruins. So, thank you all very much. I will have these for you. I also have examples of pencil grips. If you all want to come up and look at some of the things, I have these great pencils which have three sides, which can only hold those three fingers. So these are up here if you'd like to come and look at them or if you have any questions. So thank you so much. I know it's hard. It's a long day, and you all were wonderful.